Oh my God, I didn't think I was going to make it. I went to the store for just a couple of things, and I pick the line with only one person, but like every other time I'm in the grocery store, there's some cosmic force, I'm telling you. There's some cosmic force that something always has to go wrong. So it took 20 minutes. I was behind one person. They had quite a few things, but not enough for 20 minutes. This happens every time I go to the store. Every time.
Thank you for calling the Whine Line. Your gripe is important to us. All of our agents are currently busy empathizing with other customers. Please leave your complaint at the sound of the tone in the hopes that someone will eventually get back to you.
Well, the first thing I want to complain about is your name, Whine Line. Pissed Line or Bitch Line seems like a better name for a place the few non-dicks of the world can call in to vent their totally justified moral outrage. Speaking of rage, how many times am I going to have to stand behind someone in the express line at Whole Foods who can't count? It just happened again to me today. The sign clearly states 10 items or less. And this hipster with an Amish farmer's beard in front of me has a ton of crap in his cart. Hey, Beardy, use the calculator on the phone you've been texting on for the last 10 minutes we've been standing here in line to add 7 plus 8. Spoiler alert, it equals more than 10 friggin' items.
We would not have any of these problems if we lived in Sweden. Do you know why?
Tell me why.
Because in Sweden, they are using microchips. They are implanting microchips into their skin. They're like the size of little rice pellets. More than 4,000 people have already done this. And they're inserted into their hands. And these little microchips allow people to pay for things, to use them as key cards to enter offices and buildings. They also monitor health, but they've really caught on allowing people to pay in stores with just a swipe of the hand, which is a big deal toward eliminating cash.
Could they actually purchase chips with the microchips if they wanted to?
I'm guessing they probably could. Would you be comfortable with that? Let me ask you, if Apple, you know, Apple just came out with their credit card. If Apple came out and said, we'll give you a free upgraded iPhone if you take the Apple microchip, which you can now use to purchase goods. It can also be used to monitor your health. Would you say yes?
I don't know. I go back and forth on ideas like these for two reasons. On the one hand, I know that we are being monitored literally with everything that we do so that the commercials can be geared towards us. I read articles about how our phones basically monitor us kind of like Alexa does, and then mysteriously advertisements will pop up on whatever we're doing next. And I really think that this could be true. And so on the one hand, you're saying to yourself, well, these microchips are taking this to like a whole new level. On the other hand, it's kind of like, well, my life really so entertaining that I think that people would be interested in monitoring me? Probably not. So I might just do it just to experience what it was like and check it out. I probably would give it a try. How about you?
I'm on the fence about it. The whole argument about privacy always amuses me because I think that ship has sailed. I think that the expectation of privacy is somewhat ridiculous in terms of people can really get whatever they want to get these days. However, some of the points that were raised that do concern me is in relation to things like your health, for example. If it's monitoring your health, who owns that data? Like, do you get a letter from the insurance company that says that your premiums are going up because they know that you are ill before you do?
Wow, that's a really good point.
And things like being able to monitor, like, are you going to the gym? Are you getting exercise? how much time are you working? I just think that, think about this. Look at what the Russians were able to do in regards to our election. Probably a lot more than we know, right? Here in the United States. So what could someone do if they hacked into your microchip? Yeah. And you know, every year, like when you, or every few years, when you have the replacement for your credit card, I mean, do you have to go in and get a new microchip inserted?
You got to go in for like a tune-up, like, yeah, I'm going in for a microchip. What are you guys doing later? Along lines that are similar to these, I was reading recently about nanotechnologies, and they're saying that they can make little tiny machines that can navigate our veins and the cavities within our bodies. Pretty soon, they'll be able to non-invasively put these nanotechnologies like into the arteries of our heart, and they just have these little tiny machines bore out all of the plaque, giving us surgeries without the open heart surgery. So then what if you were able to take over those machines when things like that were happening?
Yeah, it's scary. I think all of these things are wonderful. You know, years ago on my old podcast, The Pill, I actually got into a debate with a futurist because I suggested that technology is developing at a greater rate than the consciousness that is creating it. The futurist did not agree. I stand by it. That is my concern, is technology does not take into account the flaws of humanity, like greed. So I get a little concerned about the integrity of people who have accessibility to these things.
Without question. And it seems to me that with research and design, our tendency to design things to run an application generally far outweighs any checks and balances that are considered along the path. Typically, we'll just design things, and then we'll have to somehow catch up with the kind of the practices associated with those things later on. And speaking of the Russians just developed some androids that can fire weapons. I saw a video of it a couple days ago.
Oh, great.
They've got androids that can fire weaponry, and so it's Rise of the Machines, and it's actually happening.
My question is, do they wear those big hats?
That would be pretty awesome.
It's so much shit. It's so much shit.
I have a neighbor that owns a Chihuahua that is this broken down little bastard of an animal. I love dogs, but this dog can kiss my ass. This dog is not kept on a leash. It wanders the neighborhood, and I talked to this guy a couple weeks ago, and I said, hey, your dog is wandering around the neighborhood. Do you need help getting him back in? He's like, oh, no, he's fine. He doesn't hurt anybody. Doesn't hurt anybody my ass. The dog walks over and craps on my lawn about 3 or 4 times a week, and it's ridiculous.
Don't you think we're fascinated with poop? I mean, aren't we all at the root fecal-philiacs?
I think we are fecal enthusiasts.
I mean, what is that? I think it's sort of part of the universal nature of being human, isn't it? It would come from potty training, where you basically look at it as a sign of achievement, and we never let that go.
Maybe it's kind of evidence that we're alive and we have some sort of morbid curiosity with it that we don't really understand.
We're just reminded that we're always producers no matter what. There's some people that have real problems, right? There was that Colorado jogger. Remember that jogger, the mad pooper?
Oh, yeah. He was doing his business all over.
It was a she.
Okay.
And she sparked a police hunt because she kept defecating outside that family's home for weeks. For weeks on end, she would stop. And from, I don't know if it was mid-run or at the end of her run, and she would just shit in their yard.
What was the motive?
I don't know. I don't know that they ever concluded. And here in Illinois, at Southern Illinois University, there was a bowel movement bandit who would poop in the dorm washing machines, not just a couple of times, but 8 times.
Oh my.
And wait a minute, wait for it. Not in empty machines either. The pooper was dumping into clothes that had already been through through the wash cycle. Now, that is some serious anger.
Yeah, and I'm sure that this person probably appeared to be normal in their daily routine. Maybe no one could have predicted this, I'm guessing. That's horrifying. Oh,
it is horrifying.
A Florida man apparently didn't appreciate being told to flush the toilet in another person's home after using it. He allegedly threatened the fellow, who complained by threatening to, quote, chop him with a machete. The suspect, 46-year-old Keith Mounts, later offered this all-too-appropriate explanation to police, quote, shit happened.
It sure did.
It did, and I'm sure that the police probably laughed. The machete-threatening man is facing charges. You know, sometimes I wonder, how far does a threat have to go in order to be taken seriously?
For those who do enjoy poop, there is a museum in Japan, in Yokohama. It's a poop museum. The poop is artificial, not exactly like it would be in the toilet, because it comes in twisty ice cream and cupcake shapes in all colors and sizes. And I guess it's a big Instagram destination. In Japan, I remember this even years ago when I lived there as a kid, all things poop are very popular. They love poop erasers, little poops with faces, all things scatological. I remember when I lived there, I remember watching television and they had a farting contest. So they're very big into all things scatological and poop oriented. And I guess when visitors come into the museum, you get a short video introduction, and then you're asked to sit on one of seven colorful, non-functional toilets that are just lined up against the wall while music plays. And each visitor pretends to poop. I don't know how they inspire you to do that. But then brightly colored souvenir poop is collected from inside the toilet bowl that you can take home after the tour.
That's rad. I saw a YouTube video not too long ago. It was a game show in Japan, and there were contestants that were standing up in the center of the stage, and each of the contestants had taken on an enema. No joke.
Oh my God.
And a challenge was to see who could hold the enema the longest. And whoever held it the longest won the challenge. I'm not kidding. This is no joke. And so there's these five dudes standing there in the center. And I mean, they're straining. They're trying with all their might. And you're just watching these people struggle to not relieve themselves in the center of a Japanese game show. And it was oddly fascinating.
Well, now we know what the worst job in Japan is.
Clean up on aisle five, please. Clean up on aisle five.
When I was a kid living in Virginia, my best friend Jimmy's mother was a doll collector.
Okay.
And I remember the first time that I went over to their house, and he took me down into their basement, and when he flipped the switch, all of these lights in a row intermittently came on, and each one was inside these lit doll cases. The entire basement was dolls from around the world. So when you walked into the basement, you had all of these eyes looking at you. It was absolutely terrifying.
That sounds like King stuff, like straight up. Like that sounds absolutely horrifying.
Authorities in Missouri are investigating after residents reportedly are finding creepy dolls posed in odd locations around the country. They've discovered them posed in strange locations. And these, I saw pictures of these dolls. They're large, so they're the size of small children. So sometimes they are mistaken for small children. And some of them have their heads cut off, and some of them have their hands glued to the face. So from the back, it could be mistaken for a kid crying, but they've been finding them around town, sometimes hanging from stop signs, things like that. So obviously it's a prank of some kind, but I have to say I was kind of amused because the police chief, he was taking this very seriously because he said, "Now we think it's a joke, but if someone thinks it's a child and they take steps to get that child out of traffic and they get injured, it's not a joke anymore."
Could you see the chief before the police have their shifts a lot of time? Like the watch supervisor will do like a pregame pep talk before they send everybody out on the beat. Johnson, McCluskey, I want this doll situation wrapped up by 0500. Is that clear? We're not going to be playing any games with the Cabbage Patch Caper. Get on it. Stay safe, everybody. Like, are you serious with this right now?
My whole thing about this was, I think that people can... First of all, how much traffic is there in this part of Missouri? It's a small town.
Right.
Like, really, is there that much traffic? And are people incapable of parking? I mean, he makes it sound like they just stop their car in the highway and run out of the car.
And you know they all know who it is, too. They're like, oh, Jed's out there with dolls again. Oh, he's out there. He's crazy, man.
At least if that's the worst of their problems, you know, good for
it
them.
It must be a pretty nice place to live. Someone in Sacramento, California, who underneath the Watt Bridge goes out into the water just below the bridge so that the cars can kind of see it, you know?
Uh-huh.
And this has been going on for 20 years, 30 years. Someone goes down there, and the water is anywhere from a foot to 2 or 3 feet high usually, and some of the rocks will stick up over the water line. It's pretty shallow, like, in that area. Somebody goes down there, and they'll stack up groups of rocks. They'll start with fairly large rock, because there's a million rocks down there. They'll stack up a fairly large rock that may be the size of football, but it's round and fairly large. And then they'll put a second one on top of that that's a little smaller, and then a third one on top of that. And these formations will literally be all about the area in the water down there. Like, there'll be dozens, if not scores of these things. These little piles of rocks, and they're everywhere. So I went down there a few years ago just to check it out and see what was going on. And this is no joke. As I was walking around down there, I made my way kind of under the bridge area, and I saw something that was irregular and larger than the rest of the rock piles. And as I made my way closer, one of the rock piles had a salmon that looked to have been sort of sacrificed, and it was on top of one of the rocks, and there was like a reed that had been driven through it.
Is this some kind of, like, Blair Witch thing?
I don't know. I mean, that's the only thing I can assume. But everybody in the Sacramento area seems to know about this. And there are, you ask them about the Watt Bridge rocks, and they'll know what you're talking about. Nobody knows who does this. And it wasn't until I actually went down there that it became even more horrifying. Whoever's doing this, it would take hours to do this.
There is a Queen fan that was left starstruck after spotting Freddie Mercury in his pork chop.
I mean, who wouldn't be starstruck? You know what I'm saying?
The dad of two was cooking dinner for he and his wife, Donna, as a holiday treat at their home. This was in the UK.
Okay.
And in the midst of his cooking, he realized that he saw in the pork chop the face of Freddie Mercury. He said, "I've never seen anything like it. I've cooked a lot of things and lived a lot of years, but I've never seen my food resemble a celebrity before."
It's a kind of magic, it is.
"Before I served up, I called over my wife, and she clocked it straight away. We looked at it for a minute or two, but we were both hungry, so I ended up eating it."
"And then I said, we will consume you."
He said that, I know it's a bit silly, but I've shown people, and they say it's a dead ringer for Freddie."
Brian May showed up. He's trying to take all the credit again once more. I don't understand why he's always doing this. He's trying to take my shine.
And I would just like to go on the record and say, that I looked at the picture and I didn't see it. It looked like a fucking pork chop.
There was no Freddie Mercury as far as you were concerned?
No Freddie Mercury. No Jesus, no Mother Mary.
Is this the real chap? Is this just fantasy?
You know that his friends, because they didn't see it, right? Because he ate it. So he just sends them pictures, so you know that his friends were lying.
Can you imagine receiving those photos? Like, it's like 6:35 and like your buddy just sent you like a picture, like, check this out. It's Mercury, he's back. Why would you eat it though, if you were that impressed by it?
Oh god, Derek's at it again. Just say that you see it. Otherwise, I'll never shut up about it.
Just oh, we're going to hear about this at the pub. Just tell him, yes, it looks like Mercury.
Last year, it was that potato chip that he said looked like the Queen. Well, now it's time for a segment that we like to call The Big Question. Here's this week's big question. If you knew a thermonuclear holocaust would occur in precisely 10 years and no one would survive, how, if at all, would you change your present life? So you know what we're going to do, Diego?
What are we going to do, Mark?
We're going to take it to the streets.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, what's your name?
I'm Ken. I think that what I would do, I would spend a lot less time working at work, thinking about work-related things, and a lot more time enjoying activities with friends and family, and just spending time being with people that I care about.
Hello, and you are?
Georgie D. I would not change a thing, not a thing. If there was going to be a thermonuclear holocaust in 10 years, where would I take my life to right now so that I would enjoy the next 10 years? I'm already doing it. I know that sounds contrite and arrogant, but many years ago, many, many years ago, I realized that the only thing I wasn't happy with was the place that I was living in, and I changed that. I'll only do a job that I love. I'll only stay in relationships that bring me joy. I'll only do the things that I want to do because life is short. I've always lived my life like that. Right now, yes, I'm not that happy with my job, but I'm taking action right now to change that. I have a fantastic relationship with my son. So would I say, oh, I want to spend more time with my son in the next 10 years? I'm already doing it. I'm already spending that time with my son. I'm already spending time with my friends. I'm already doing the things for me that I love because I can't live my life any other way. It might as well be a thermonuclear holocaust tomorrow if I was going to be that person. I don't want to go to any countries. There's no places I haven't been that I want to see. I don't want to jump out of an aeroplane in a parachute. It's not something I wanted to do. I've traveled so much. I've done so many different jobs. I've had so many beautiful relationships and I've loved so many people. I don't feel as if there's anything I've missed out on. There's nothing that I would change because I'm living my best life. Oh my God, that sounds sickening. You can all throw up a little bit in your mouths now.
What's your name?
Mary. Yeah, I would live it with a greater intention, with a focus on greater social justice, with greater compassion. If I couldn't change that future and I knew the future was inevitable, I would certainly do all I can to make sure that was indeed the truth. But given that was there, that verifiable, that 10 years that we were done, then I would live my personal life much more consciously and with greater intention in terms of what I was doing every day and how I treated people, how I took care of myself, how I interact with my loved ones and others, whether I myself was approaching people and the world around me was conscious about the value and importance of the world that I was living in.
Okay. Thanks, everyone, for participating. And now we take it back to the studio where we ask, what say you, Diego McLeod? What is your answer to this week's big question?
If the world was going to come to an end in 10 years, which it might, let's face it, but if we knew that it was going to come to an end, honest to God, I would try to just enjoy every day. I would dance. I would laugh. I would give more. I would go out and spend more time with my loved ones, and I would sure as hell be a ton nicer to people, most of all myself. What about you?
I think that I would be less preoccupied with discomfort, or what people's response might be. In other words, I would sort of become the person that I wish that I was rather than being the person that I am in regards to the way that I interact with other people. I'm a bit shy, so I think I would probably break through that wall because why the fuck not? And I would probably travel more.
Okay.
I think that I'd want to get out and see more of the world before it's gone.
Hello? It's my wife again. Don't know what to do about my wife. Monday, she have headache. Tuesday, she have headache. Wednesday, she have headache. Same headache? Don't know. Thursday, she watch Housewives. I shave my back. I floss my teeth. I use the Old Spice. I do push-up. Nothing. A man has needs. I don't know. Very frustrated. Don't know. Help me.
Are you familiar with Joel Schumacher, the director?
No.
Okay, he's the director who did Batman Forever, Elmo's Fire, Phantom of the Opera. Okay. Those are some of his films. Well, apparently, Joel was just... He wasn't just making movies. He claims that he has had sex with 20,000 partners. Now, he's 80 years old.
Okay.
So I was... Now, you're a math person, so you could do better than me, but I'm guessing... Let's just say that he started at 18, which is probably unlikely for someone who's at 20,000. He probably started a lot early. But if he started at 18 years old, that means he's had 62 years of sex, which means that he's having sex about 322 times a year.
With different partners. 322 partners a year.
Yeah, and he's gay. The author of the article remarked that this figure was amazing. In other words, huge. And Schumacher responded, it's not for a gay male because it's available.
Well, maybe so, but you know, I think the more impressive thing about that figure is the fact that he was able to achieve likely the majority of that total without the assistance of technology. Like, he pulled that off without, like, dating apps.
He said when the AIDS epidemic broke out in the 80s, he was surprised to test negative. Well, I guess so. He said he took measures to protect himself, but, you know, there were risks, condoms broke, etc. Well, yeah, when you're having sex with 20,000 different people, the risk is rather high. Amazing.
It almost makes you think that perhaps it's not true, Mr. Powers.
Do you think he's telling the truth?
I think if a person who had attained some stature in their life and who had popularity and maybe some celebrity, if they made that their objective, I think that they maybe could do a quarter of that or half that. But to say that you've bedded down with 20,000 people, I think is kind of absurd, to be honest with you.
Well, I mean, is that really bragging rights? I mean, to me, that makes you disgusting.
Yeah, it's almost like you're some sort of fornicating android or something. Like, there would be so many people that you would not recall thousands of people. I mean...
Well, first of all, there's no way, right, that you could have sex with 20,000 people without it being an addiction, right?
Oh, I think that's a foregone conclusion, absolutely. Yeah.
Ew.
You're not even putting any thought into this. This is second nature... knee-jerk reaction, pardon the pun.
Can you imagine when you get a sexually transmitted disease where they say that you're supposed to list all of your sexual partners? Oh, God. Can you imagine? I'm gonna need some more paper.
Do you have a stenographer? It's absolutely staggering. I find it very hard to believe, but but think about this logically. 365 days in 1 year. So he's hooking up with a different person every day of his life. Every day. Come on, man. You didn't take a week off.
Well, there's definitely the risk of calling out the wrong name.
Or thousand.
You know, every once in a while he might hit it right.
I'm sure that, you know, there's probably a lot of, hey, you. If you have questions or comments, you can send them to whathappenedwaspod@gmail.com. What does that mean, pod?
Podcast.
You just say what?
Is he like some sort of like spacecraft involved? Like, there was a
pod.
If you'd like to contact us with questions or concerns, you can do so at whathappenedwaspod@gmail.com or at whathappenedwas on Twitter.
And special thanks to our friends Donna Blanchard and Kevin Williams. Make sure to listen to Kevin Williams' podcasts, Last Weekly and TV Channeling, wherever you get your podcasts. When you're done here, go there.
Yo, I just listened to this quote-unquote podcast, and all I got to say is that Diego McLeod sound like an asshole. Who the hell do he think he is anyway? I can't even understand what the hell he's saying. Sounds like he's talking in a wind tunnel or some shit, man. Y'all better clean that shit up, man. I don't even know what the hell's going on. I mean, the other dude was all right, I guess. But, yeah, I heard that Diego, like, is some kind of criminal or some shit. My cousin knows that guy. On parole with one of them anklets on his appendage, man. I don't even know what the hell's going on.
Back off the microphone a little bit.
What are you doing? Sorry. Looks like somebody was out there jacking fools on 10th Street. Word.
Thermonuclear holocaust?
My name is Joe. I guess I get some good shit to smoke on. And I mean, I gotta say, I probably get some hoes. Yeah, I probably get some shit to smoke on. Because I mean, the world's coming to an end, right? Yeah, so I mean, like, I'd probably be like, smoke every day. Yeah.
Christine, you can call me Cricket, though. That's what my friends call me, or what I wish they would call me, or what I try to get them to call me. I always wanted a nickname, you know? 10 years, Lord Jesus. You know what I would do? Have sex. Lots of it. No more waiting for Mr. Right. It'd be Mr. Right now. All up and in this. You know what I'm saying? I mean, fuck it. And it, and him, and maybe even her, and Alexander across the hall. Yeah! Give me some of that. I see the way he looks at me when, well, yes, he is married, but you know, Joanna has never been nice to me. Never asked me to book club. So you know what? Fuck her. But more so, fuck him. That would make for a happy 10 years around the world and back. Thermonuclear holocaust. I've read that Kama Sutra. Okay, I haven't, but I could probably get it at the library. Do they have books like that at the library? I don't know.
My name is Louise. Wow, that's... Oh, so nobody survived? Oh, well, I would probably call my sister. And what is that thing?
It's an iPhone. It's a recording. We're recording with an iPhone.
Well, what is it? Does she make phone calls or what is this? My nephew has one of those. He's always playing little games. I don't know what he's doing with that. Does it see my face?
No, it doesn't. So
I guess I'll just try to be a little nicer to people. Maybe I'd calm down a little bit. You know, maybe I'd go skydiving or something. I don't know.
Enjoy the day. Dance. I hope you dance.
Because we've only got 10 fucking years and then we're all gone.
I hope you dance. Word.
What are you doing listening to this stupid podcast?
Seriously, like, how have you made it this long? Like, really? You made it this long? That was...